Blog Talk Radio.
This is power. This is freedom. This is tradition.
It's Dale Earnhardt with a lead.
This is being who you were meant to be, where you were meant to be. This is more than a race. This is Talladega. The biggest party in NASCAR returns May 5th through 7th for the Geico 500. Call 877-GO-TO-DEGA for tickets.
Good morning and welcome to the Pit Stop Radio. I'm Stephen Wilson, and I've got Tim Despain right on the ground in the infield of Talladega, the biggest party this weekend in the world of NASCAR. I'm sure that he was out there in the big one on the boulevard Friday night out there with all the wild and crazy things going on out there. Some of the things that you probably can't tell the stories of, that it's kind of like Vegas out there. Tim, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing great, Stephen. How's everything going on up there in the Commonwealth of Virginia? We got some beautiful weather here. Unlike Friday, it was like in the 50s and rain, but today it's nice. I got a light breeze, going to be in the 70s, and Ricky Stenhouse Jr. just come out of Tech. He was the first one I've seen to come through. But no, I did not attend the big one on the boulevard. I'm too old. I had to go home and get some rest.
Well, you know, maybe we can, you know, they called me out, you know, last Tuesday when we were on the radio that I've got to come down. Sarah did, and maybe in October I'll see what we can do to get you guys to come down there, because I'm sure if I go down there, I at least want to go down there and see what this whole Talladega infield thing is all about.
We will definitely do it that night. We will definitely go out there. Bring AM, and I don't know if we want to take the kids out there, but they say it's really something to see.
Oh no! They, you know, they're not coming along, because that's you know, not something that you want to see. You know, I've heard the stories of Camp Darlington. I've heard the stories from Bristol and some of the other places out there. And you know, I'm not gonna. Oh no, we're not going to do that. But it's race day in Talladega, Alabama, for the Geico 500. Ricky Stenhouse, he's going to sit on the pole later on today when this thing goes green out there in that 2.66 mile monster that you have out there in your backyard there in Talladega.
And yes, Aaron, you're right. It's certainly in my backyard. It took me and Suzanne like 12 minutes to get here. But yeah, just a throwback, Ricky Stenhouse Jr. didn't make it through Tech. He's rolling out on the grid now. Dale Earnhardt Jr. just come through. He passed inspection. Don't know who they got on the other side. But, yeah, it's going to be a beautiful day for racing. You know, it's the second race that we're going to do with the new stage racing with the restrictor plates. You know, we had the first one there at Daytona where Kurt Busch won that race. And like it is here, Steven, here today, I'm walking around a Monster Energy NASCAR Sprint Cup Series garage. A lot of people, I mean, there are just people everywhere. And this is one big, massive facility. You can't, I mean, like the other day, walking from the Cup garage to the Arca garage, Xfinity garage, my phone said I walked 4.3 miles. So, you know, there's a lot of walking and a lot of people.
Yeah, most definitely. And, you know, yesterday, you know, we'll just throw back this over to yesterday. Yesterday was wild and crazy out there, even on the last lap, wrecking and craziness. You know, the lap 21 and lap 41 out there yesterday, two big crashes out there yesterday. Eric Almirola emerging victorious out there. He won last year in Daytona in the Firecracker 250 in a restricted race you know, car that they ran just yesterday, and he came home and the Sparks Energy 300 with the victory for that team, which is an affiliate to Richard Petty Racing. You know, you take a look at Eric Almirola, and he seems to have a knack for this when he gets there in the Xfinity Series. This is two restricted plate races there on these big tracks out there, going back to back like that. And he really seems to have something out there where in the late stages he was, you know, in the first part of the race he was he was up front for a little while, and then he got shuffled to the back there with a little bit of pit issues out there. But, you know, at the end of the day, he was right back up there at the end, and he was able to get there into victory lane and really just hold off some of the other guys out there like Elliott Saylor, Justin Allgaier, and some of the really strong contenders that you would think that might be able to get around him, but they just were not. There was a big Chevy contingent right behind him, and Richard Childress Racing and JR Motorsports and some of those other guys that had been dominant throughout the day just were not able to get around him in those late stages, and especially those final few laps.
Yeah, you're right, Steve. And that was another good race at Sports Energy 300 here at Talladega Super Speedway. You know, I emailed you some pictures from over there, and it seemed like there was a car that had wrecked, which was a bunch of them. It seemed like all the carnage was on the back side of that garage, and you had to sort of dodge your way through there, you know, just to stay out of their way while they were trying to cut the cars up where they could get them, where they could get them on the hauler. But I walked around to the back side of the inspection where they're coming in. Matt Kenseth's in there now, number 20, waiting in line is Trevor Bannon, number 6, Kevin Harvick in the 4, and number 19 is Daniel Schwoy. They're all lined up going through the final inspection stage right now. And we'll try to get down there and see what the other inspection stages are looking like.
Yeah, you know, this is an impound race too. When you get to Talladega, you know, these cars once they you know take time yesterday in qualifying, these are impound races. So there's no more working on these cars, and you know this is something that NASCAR really has instituted that at these restrictor plate races, they really just don't want them working on these cars, and you know. You take a look back at Friday, and there really wasn't a whole lot of practice in that because, as you said, there was a lot of weather that came through the area. You know, there really just wasn't a whole lot of time to really work on these cars in general. And then you compound this down with an impound race. You know, when you get into this race later on today, you think that these cars are just going to flat out run all day long, but there's going to be a lot of adjustments on some of these vehicles when they have to get out there and they have to start running in these drafts, especially 2, 3, 4, 5 wide.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Steve. And just to add on there, we were talking about the stage race. I'd probably say yesterday in that Xfinity race, it like every lap was the last lap, you know, because top 10 gets points toward the chase. And I think the stage races has made the racing a lot more excitement. It gives the fans a little break when they throw that caution there. Get up, go get them a drink, you know, go to the restroom, do whatever, and then come back, sit down, and line them up and go again.
Yeah, I mean, you did see some of that. And, you know, the one thing that I don't think, you know, the drivers have quite learned yet, and, you know, we've only had – this would be the second race on this restriction plate with these stage races is that, you know, a lot of these drivers come to the end of these stages, and we did see a lot of the wrecking coming at those late stages, and that's where the two biggest wrecks came at, on lap 21 and on lap 49, and that's right, lap 25 and lap 50 were at the ends of the two stage breaks. So, I mean, you saw the most aggressive driving right there at the end of those two stages, and, you know, that's where, you know, every driver is trying to get every point that they possibly can because a lot of these points and these wins, and you know, go over towards, you know, the playoffs towards the end of the season. So, you know, if you go back and you look at Daytona, there was a lot of carnage that happened there. I think somebody said there was 100 plus vehicles with some kind of damage over the 3 days, 4 days there in Daytona during speed weeks, and that is a lot of carnage out there at Daytona. Now, of course, you're not going to see that here at Talladega because, you know, we're just not running as many races. But, you know, at Daytona, when you've got 100 plus vehicles that have some kind of damage from an incident, and especially, you know, the stage races as we saw lap 21, lap 49 yesterday, we should probably see, or at least expect to see, some of that going on today.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Steve. I'm standing here, Mike Bagley's in a discussion. I was going to try to get him, but I've got my good friend from Thunder 92.7 over here, Chris. Chris, you want to talk a little bit about this big, massive facility here at Talladega Super Speedway?
Yeah, it's definitely a massive facility. I had the opportunity yesterday to work on pit road, and you know, just to get into the infield care center from pit road is about two or four, three football fields. And so we were running up and down the pit road lane, trying to catch up with drivers and crew chiefs, and then getting over to the care center just to check on drivers that were in an accident, ARCA race. And I got to tell you, that's the most workout I have done in a long, long time. And then you go from garage to garage to garage, and yeah, it's spread out. But then you get up there on the box, and you look across the track, and you almost need your binoculars to see from one side to the other. I mean, 2.66 miles, that's a lot of road, and we get to see it all right here.
Exactly. One of the best racing facilities in the sport, correct, Chris?
It's crazy to me if you think about it, because it's such a big track, and yet when you watch the drivers, they're, what, 6 inches apart, sometimes even less than that, from four deep, four wide, you know, and they're pushing each other, and they're bumping, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm driving on the speedway here, and I'm stuck in traffic, and I don't want to get 3 feet away from the car in front of me, and I'm going less than a mile an hour, and they're going almost 200 miles an hour, and they're pushing each other and touching each other and side drafting each other. It blows my absolute mind.
TV does it no justice, does it, Chris? You got
to
be here.
TV does nothing. When you get down here to the track and you see the festivities and you see the fans and you see just the drivers and the owners, I mean, just hanging out. You got the grills that are cooking up even in the pits, and it's just unlike anything I've ever experienced, and I love it.
Chris, thanks for taking time out and talk to us on the show. I know y'all are live now doing a show on Thunder. Tell Grady to do something and get up out of the chair, okay?
I will, definitely. Thanks, man. I appreciate it. All right, have a great day.
You too, Chris. Hey, that's my good friend Chris from Thunder 92.7. They've been wide open all week, too.
Yeah, as he was talking about, I mean, you know, I've never been there, but I comparatively speaking, you know, I've been to Daytona multiple times, and I've walked that infield, and I've done it during speed weeks, from Thursday to Sunday, and I can tell you by Saturday morning, you're just done. I mean, you're already looking at, you know, Saturday and Sunday like, okay, it's over with. And, I mean, it's crazy just the amount of walking that you have to do to go from one end of pit road, like he was saying, you know, back to, you know, where the care centers and where some of these other places are, because just the massive facilities that these places are and, you know, just how much spread out it is. Just walking across some of these football fields that they have out there in the trial, those are just, you know, just massive, massive, you know, large areas that they cover on their own.
Yeah. Stephen, I've run up on Kenny Bruce and him right here. He's gonna come on and talk to us. He told us, wait a second, they're in a conversation with Leonard Wood. They got, look like they're trying to solve a lot of problems here at Talladega, too. So I'm just going to hang out right here for a minute. But, as you mentioned earlier, Stephen, Ricky Stenhouse Jr. won the pole for the 48th annual Geico 500. And I don't know if winning the pole here, you know, the way the cars suck up and you have to block the outside and inside rail, I just don't think you're guaranteed to win if you win the pole here at Talladega.
Yeah, I mean, you really are. I mean, that's the thing at Talladega. There are no guarantees when you get to a restricted plate race in general. There are no guarantees at all. I mean, you can sit out front all day long all you want, but I mean, you've got to have a bumper 2 and 3 lanes wide and try and block that field that is sitting behind you. And I mean, you got multiple lines moving at a continual basis. I mean, your spotter is talking, 212 miles a minute or more to try and tell you what's going on, and it's almost impossible. And the way that, you know, a line can suck you up real quickly and put you back in 25th, or you can go from 25th to first, and vice versa, it can happen all in an instant and all in a straightaway or all in a corner or all in anywhere out there on that track. You're really just not guaranteed to win at all, no matter even if you're sitting on the pole or not.
And just to mention one thing to our listeners too, Stephen, unlike Daytona, the start-finish line is located in the trial over down there. Here at Talladega, it's on down toward turn one. And there is a lot of action, a lot of lead changes that go on from the trial over here at Talladega on down to that start-finish line down toward turn one.
Yeah, it really is. I think they told us one time it's about 1,100, almost 1,200 yards away. I mean, you know, that is a lot of racing surface between, you know, where your traditional start-finish line is and where that, you know, where you know, Bill Francinier built this at. And it was done on purpose because, you know, a lot of people had the traditional start-finish line sitting in a tri-oval. And, you know, when he built this massive racing facility, he saw a lot of people were not sitting down in that area. So, or he had seen that in other race tracks. So he decided when he built this racetrack that he would change things up, put it down further, and it would also increase the competition because there's been many people that have won and lost that race and that extra couple hundred yards that go from the traditional start finish line. And, you know, that thrill of victory has been yanked away from many, many people over the years.
You're exactly right, Stephen. And, you know, with this new stage races, I keep bringing up stage racing. It's gonna bring up a lot, too. And, Stephen, I've come up on my good friend from NASCAR.com, Mr. Kenny Bruce. Kenny, how you doing, bud?
I'm doing pretty good, hanging out here on a nice sunny day at Talladega.
It's a lot better than it was Friday, isn't it, Kenny?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I wasn't really happy with Friday's weather.
Wet and cold. Kenny, this is our second restricted place race with the new stage race, which, you know, I call it just a caution. I meant for a caution. What do you think we're going to see out of the Mock Trinity NASCAR Cup grounds here today at Talladega Super Speedway?
Well, as far as the stage racing goes, I think, you know, if typically you're going to see the pack racing here, you're going to have, you know, you're going to have 10 to 15 guys up front in one group probably, and then, you know, another group right behind them. The guys that are in the top 10 aren't going to do anything stupid to jeopardize their position, but, you know, the guys in 11th or 15th or 16th or whatever, they're going to have to decide, you know, is it worth it to try to get to the top 10 at the end of the stage to get those stage points, or do we just take our medicine now and, you know, try to come back and maybe get some points in the second stage? I think it'll have somewhat of an effect on the outcome. But outside of that, overall, I mean, I'm looking for a really good race here today. It's going to be warm. You know, the track's going to change a little bit. Tires not a big deal here. You know, it's all about speed and decisions you make and who you draft with and when you go with them.
That's right. And, you know, we always have the big one here, don't we, Kenny? What lap are you going to predict it to come on?
Well, I'm hoping we don't have one today. But like you say, you normally do. And probably if something like that happens, I'm going to guess it's going to happen close to the end of the stages, close to the end of the race when guys know the time's running out.
Sounds good, Kenny. Thank you very much for taking time to talk to us.
All right, sir. Appreciate it. You have a good day.
You too, Kenny. Yeah. Kenny Bruce, NASCAR.com. Stephen, he said that's his prediction. Just like he said, the big one should come at the end, just like it always comes, or maybe at the end of one of the stages.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I keep harping on this. I mean, we saw this exactly yesterday, lap 21, lap 49, both of them right at the ending, closing of the stages. I mean, I think you're going to see that again today. You're going to see a lot of guys, you know, doing the very exact same thing. But, you know, cooler heads are going to really have to prevail at the end of this, I think, at the end of the day. And, you know, I don't think, you know, we've really, you know, a lot of these drivers, you know, yet have gotten the concept of it. I think we still, the newness hasn't worn off to really get the concept of it in this style of racing. I think it'll take some time. They'll have to learn it. It's like everything else you have to learn when race rules changes. And hopefully by the time, you know, they get back there in the fall, maybe some of this will change. But I mean, we saw it yesterday, and hopefully a lot of these drivers were sitting there watching yesterday and watching what was happening right there at the end of the stages, and hopefully some of that can be prevented. But, you know, at the end of the day, I mean, you know, these cars are running inches away from one another, you know, 3, 4, 5, even sometimes wide out there. And, I mean, it really just doesn't take a whole lot to, you know, one of these cars push up somewhere and – that's just it. You know, that's just the end of it. And a whole bunch of them out there go and they're just, you know, piled up, you know, just, they're just out, done for the day. And, you know, that brings up another good point. You know, that yesterday, I mean, we saw a lot of these cars torn up and, you know, and under the new rules, you only get 5 minutes to go out there and to fix your car. And you get out of your car and you're done for the day. So, I mean, that also comes into play. So, I mean, these drivers have to be very concerned about that, too, at the same time, because if you go to the garage or you can't fix these cars in 5 minutes, it's not like years prior where you could put a whole bunch of barrel bond onto it, a bunch of tape, and go back out there and just run around, even at half speed. You can't do that anymore. They go to the garage now, and, I mean, they even sent William Byron to the garage yesterday. They sent other drivers to the garage yesterday because they couldn't meet minimum speed. So, you know, drivers have to be really concerned about that, too, at the same time.
Yeah, sounds good, Stan. Stephen, we not only have big race fans, we got some two young gentlemen down here I'm talking to. They're going through a kids VIP experience garage. What's your name, young man?
Bob Call.
Bob, who's your favorite driver?
Kyle Busch.
What's your name, big man?
McCall.
What's your favorite driver?
Chase Elliott.
I should have known that. You got on Chase Elliott hat, don't you? Where are y'all from?
Georgia.
Georgia. What part of Georgia?
LJ.
Well, gentlemen, I hope y'all enjoy your VIP experience, and congratulations, and good luck. It's glad to see you here at Talladega. Run up on some young fans there, Stephen. They're all sizes, all ages.
Yeah, I mean, when you're walking through the garage, I mean, you really do see a lot of fans out there, you know, from all parts of the country. I mean, you know, Russell sent out something, you know, I'm going to put Russell out here for a minute. I mean, he was saying, you know, they got fans from all 50 states out there, I think something like 21, 22 countries or something like that. So, I mean, when they come to Talladega, they come to Talladega, that's for sure.
Yeah, and they come into golf. I mean, you know, I didn't know it till just a few years ago that they come from all 50 states, like you said. But and Russell and Grant, they do a great job here putting on a show for everybody. They had the Charlie Daniels concert last night, which I didn't go there because, like I said, I'm old. But I keep talking about this massive facility. I don't know how many seats, Stephen, but you can just look all up through there, and it just looks like it's like its own town here. You know, it's over 3,000 acres. You got free camping in certain spots. I mean, and they got the new Talataxi that they brought back this year. You can pay $5 per person per ride. They'll take you anywhere on this facility that you want to go.
That's what I'm saying. I'm going to need one of those when I come down. I'm just going to have to be like, yeah, I'm going to need a taxi ride, you know, around that massive facility down there.
We will definitely do it because I don't know how long it'll take. It might take half a day to see everybody.
yeah. I mean, there's quite a bit of room down there, you know, to walk around that place. And, you know, I don't know. I'm not going to throw anybody around, but I'm just saying that I might not be able to handle all that walking around there because that's quite a bit of walking down there.
Yeah, we'll probably just rent us a four-seat golf cart. That's what we'll do. I'll borrow my neighbor's trailer, and we'll just bring it out here. We'll do it that way. But even when I walk back around the backside going through this place, Kyle Busch is in the room of doom now. Denny Hamlin's behind him. Joey Logano's on his way down here. Speaking of Joey Logano and the Penske Bunch, this has sort of been this place has been very, very good to the Penske the last few years. I think I know Joey won once, and I think Brad won four, didn't he, Steve?
Yeah, I mean they're going to go for a dominant. I think this will be their fourth or fifth time in a row. I'll have to go back and look at it, right? You know, because I don't have those stats right in front of me, but I have to go back. But yeah, this will be their fourth or fifth time in a row if they win again this week. But you know, it seems like you know they've done something. But I tell you, you know, fourth over the years, and not necessarily four in general, but you know, that Roush Yates horsepower that, you know, they're building, you know, when they come to restricted plate racing, they have always, always done something to produce the best horsepower that they have in that stable. And it seems like when you go back and you look all the way through the years, you go back and look at Davey Allison, you go back and look at Dale Jarrett, you go back and look at you know, a lot of the Yates drivers over the years. You go back and look at the Roush drivers over the years. You now look at the Penske, who seems to be dominant, you know, for the Ford side. You look at the Wood brothers over the years. you know, there's a lot of Fords that have gone to victory lane at the two restricted plate tracks, and especially right there at Talladega. And I mean, you've got the fastest speed on the circuit right there at 212 plus miles an hour at Bill Elliott in a Ford. So, I mean, you know, they've always produced great horsepower when it comes to these types of tracks. And especially, you know, now we've seen Penske really rise to the top of the cream of the crop right now. And yeah, they're going for a dominant factor. And you really can't, you know, when you start talking about them over the last couple of races, both of them, really have something. I mean, even Brad Keselowski won many years ago with an underfunded team out there, and he seems to have been able to catch on to something that, you know, a lot of other drivers, you know, like the likes of Dale Earnhardt Jr., you know, going all the way back to, you know, Junior Johnson when he discovered the draft back in the 60s. So, I mean, you know, he's started picking up on things that I think, you know, some of the other drivers haven't even learned yet or trying to learn. And, you know, it's really interesting to see what's really come of them over the last many years.
Yeah. And then let's talk a little bit about the Gibbs cars. You know, last year they were dominating everything. They're not winning everything, but they were in contention for the win. And this week, you know, Matt Kenseth, he's going to be starting 20th in that Super K Toyota. And rookie Daniel Flores in the 19 Air Tour, he starts 7th. Do you think this could be a place the deals might turn it around a little bit?
You know, Denny Hamlin going back, I mean, he's won Daytona 500. And, you know, when they come to restricted plate racing, I mean, you know, they've kind of been off and on over the last couple of years. So it's really hard to tell. This year hasn't been what we've seen out of them last year. I mean, when you saw them last year, they kind of started off a little bit slow, but I mean, they were still very much up front. They were still very much in contention for a lot of things. But this year, we really haven't talked about them a whole lot in a lot of aspects. Matt Kenseth has yet to win a stage. He has yet to really get up front and really do much of anything. I mean, you know, of course he won the pole last week at Richmond, but I mean, when you talk about him, he really hasn't done, you know, what we have come to expect out of Matt Kenseth over the years. And even looking at, you know, last week at Richmond, you know, Kyle Busch, you know, somebody that has dominated Richmond on many, many occasions there, not only in the Xfinity, but there in the Cup Series. He was out front for a fair few amount of laps out there, and just a bad stop out there that, you know, just sent him to the back. He just a mistake that, you know, just normally doesn't happen for them. You look at Denny Hamlin, you know, similar types of issues. And then, I mean, you've got Daniel Suarez, who's a rookie. I mean, he's the defending 2016 NASCAR Xfinity Series champion. So, I mean, he's learning. There's a lot of learning curve for him on some of these tracks that, you know, some of them he's been to, some of them, you know, he's going to have to learn a little bit more on. But, I mean, he's going to have to learn. But when you take a look at him versus what, you know, Ryan Blaney and Chase Elliott did in 2016 in their rookie seasons, we're really not – I don't think we're seeing the – if you look at him overall, I think there's still a lot of learning that has to go into Daniel Suarez before he's going to compete on the level of what Ryan Blaney and what Chase Elliott did in their first rookie season. It's going to take another season or so to get him up to speed on the same amount. So, yeah, I mean, Joe Gibbs Racing, I mean, they're going to be set for the future, no doubt. But I think right now they're in that kind of mid-transition point where they're going to have to really, you know, rebuild their team back again. And, you know, there's how much longer is, you know, Matt Kenseth is going to stick around at the same time. As well as, you know, Denny Hamlin just signed an extension. I mean, Kyle Busch is going to be there for quite a while. Daniel Suarez obviously is going to be there long-term. You know, so, you know, there's quite a few things that are going to go on over there, but, you know, I don't think they're in any bad shape by no means. I mean, they're very much, you know, going to be able to, hopefully when we come up, because I think last year we saw them really dominate when we start getting into the summer season throughout the rest of the year. So it'll be really interesting to see what happens when we get up here in the next couple of weeks, because I think that's where we're going to start seeing them shine. And if we don't see them start shining like we did last year in the summer season, then I think that's, you know, where there might be a little cause for concern as to what might be going on over there at Joe Gibbs Racing. But I don't think right now there's any cause for concern at all.
Yeah, I agree along the same lines there, Steve. What's going on now right outside the number 22 Penske Hall, Joe Logano, he's just standing right out here, fans coming up, and he's talking, he's signing autographs. I mean, he's just one of them type people that's a people person. Standing here looking at him right now, he's signing the lady's shirt. I mean, he's taking time out to talk to everybody that wants to come up.
Yeah, I mean, excuse me. Yeah, I mean, that's cool. That's cool that we've got drivers, I mean, that'll like that. You know, there's a lot of drivers that, you know, will just go and hang out. I mean, we've seen that out of Clint Bowyer a couple of years ago at Darlington. I mean, he just stood outside the hauler and, you know, he didn't have anybody hanging around him, you know, just stood out there, took pictures. He had lines of people out there. Didn't turn people away, talk to people, there are still a lot of drivers out there, and really, you know, that's something that still needs to occur. We still need to have drivers out there. It needs to be more drivers doing this. Just stand at the back of the hauler, take pictures, you know, do the autograph thing. Just stop being so confined to, an appearance schedule and just go hang out in the garage, go hang out on pit road, just go and do the picture thing, do the autograph thing. I mean, because at the end of the day, you know, these people are, you know, they're your fans. They're buying your merchandise, you know, your t-shirts, your hats. They're coming to see your race. They're buying the tickets for you to race. And without that fan support and without you, you know, going out there and doing that, you know, I think there's a little bit of a disconnect. And I think people have started to see that a little bit. And, you know, with that curtailed schedule where, you know, you're going to be here for 15 minutes and there for 5 minutes and here for another 10 minutes, and that's all you're going to get to see them on a given weekend aside from them sitting in a race car for 3 hours, I think that's where a little bit is people start seeing that disconnect from time to time. So, you know, when you start seeing drivers more and more start just hanging out at the back of the hall or, you know, taking the pictures and doing the things like that, like we've seen out of Clint Bowyer, like you're seeing that out of Joe Logano right now, that really starts reconnecting back with them. That's what we need more and more out of more of these drivers. And I think it should be more, you know, I know NASCAR can't do anything about it. I wish they could, because, you know, it'd be nice for them to say, hey, look, you know, guys, hey, you need to go and, like, I know they've done it in the lower series, like the K&N's modifieds, you know, even the Camping World Truck Series at Gateway, you know, they have a large scale, you know, hey, we set up a bunch of tables in the Midway and say, hey, here's, you know, 15 drivers, and they all come out and they do a bunch of pictures and autograph sessions for like an hour before the race or whatever it is, or they do it for the K&Ns or the modifieds or whatever the case may be. And I wish they could do it in the Monster Energy Cup Series, you know, garage, but, you know, it's a little bit different. The dynamics are different. You know, there's so much more sponsorship, and marketing and, you know, all those things that kind of, you know, control the atmosphere, I guess is the way of saying it, that really just has their time bind it, you know, where and when they can do things. So, you know, I wish, you know, NASCAR could kind of, you know, come in and do some of those things, because I think it really would be good for the fans to have some more of that connection.
Yeah, and since me and you have been talking about that on the radio, I think another 100 fans have come up here. So we must have had somebody listen, but Joe's still standing out here. I was going to try to sit up front and see if I could get an interview, but it don't look like it's going to happen. I see Chip Ganassi over here. I'm going to see if I might get something from a Chip. I don't know if he'll have time or not. Mr. Ganassi, do you have a minute to talk?
Sure.
Steve, I'm here with Chip Ganassi on the number 42 and the number 11. Chip, this new stage racing, are you a fan of it or not?
Well, you know, I got to tell you, at first I wasn't a fan of it, and I've kind of learned, it's kind of growing on me. I like it. I mean, I think you can plan your day a little better. You can, when you're watching on TV, whether you're in the pits or at home watching on TV, and you got a rest break coming up here where you can run to the bathroom, or you can, you know, you run to, you know, do something for a minute or two and come back. You know, you can plan it. So I like that. I mean, I think it's good. It keeps you on the edge of your chair, whether you're in the pits or you're at home. So I'm a fan.
Sort of gives you a chance to get up and go to the fridge and get a beer, right, Chip?
Right.
One more question, Chip. Kyle Larson, looks like somebody set a fire on him this year. He's really, really running good. And Jamie's running really, really well, too. Can you talk a little bit about that?
You know, it's just hats off to my guys, everybody on the team, everybody including the drivers, guys building the cars, the guys in the pit lane. Everybody's doing a good job, and it shows. But it's just a little here, a little there, and that's all the difference it is. And we've really been lucky this year. It's down to the great drivers and great people we have.
Thank you for your time, Mr. Ganassi, and good luck. I'm Chip Ganassi, Stephen, owner of Ganassi Racing. He said his team just really, really worked hard and lit that fire of that 42 this time.
Yeah, I mean, when you take a look at Kyle Larson, I mean, he's been there almost every single week. I mean, he won at Auto Club Speedway earlier this year. He's been second multiple times. It seemed like almost every week. Every week, he was second and sitting on top of the point standings. So, you know, that team is really excuse me. You know, that team has really been there. You know, and really made a turnaround. Carl Larson is, he really is the next thing out there, and he's really shown himself to really improve over the last couple of years. He's really going out there and really making an effort to show that he's going to go and do the best he can with Chip Ganassi Racing and try and run for this championship this year. I think when it starts to come to stage racing out there in a little bit, I think this plays into his favor. You got to remember, he comes from dirt tracks, sprints. A lot of this stuff is almost, exactly right in his wheelhouse. I mean, they run heat races, they run mains, they run all kinds of stuff in those types of series. So I think this plays almost right in his wheelhouse. So he kind of knows how to play this game just a little bit better than other drivers do, especially considering that he still goes out and runs something like, if I remember correctly, somewhere between 20 and 30 of these events a year, where he was doing somewhere around 60, 70 events. Now he's down to something like 20 or 30 events a year. But I think it plays directly into his wheelhouse and the fact that he can go out there, he knows how to race the heats, thinking about the two as heats and then a main race, and he knows where to be, when to be, and get the maximum amount of points so that he can be sitting there on the top of, even though he doesn't get the win every week, he knows how to get the maximum amount of points to be there on top every single week. And that's, how he's sitting so high in the point standings and leading the point standings like he is.
Yeah, exactly. And Steve, I'm trying to get down here in the inspection line. I see number 14, Clint Barty. He come through the LIS. I don't think he passed. They had him come back and go through it again. I don't know that for sure, but they did turn around and come back down here.
Yeah, that thing is, it really doesn't have a whole lot of tolerances in there as far as, what it looks for. I mean, it really does look at every angle in that car. And, the old templating system really, once they went to this new the lift system, which is laser inspection station, which most people, if they hadn't been into the garage, I mean, this thing really does look at a lot of angles on the car that, a human eye may not see. And that's, why NASCAR went to this is to really get, those tolerances correct each and every week.
Yeah, and also the number 3 car of Austin Dillon, I just rolled it back down toward the later station, but this might be his first trip through. There's still some that hadn't been through. The 47 of E.J. Allmendinger, he's still sitting, the car's still sitting there. Garage stall number 40, Michael Annette's still sitting in his stall. Danica's car's still sitting there. So there's still a few of them that's just sitting around, not really getting no big hurry, I don't think. Here comes the number five car, Hendrick Motorsports, Casey Kane. Just roll it down. Look like they're going to the LIS right now. And I'm just walking around. I think I done run up on somebody that I might know. Mr. Kenny Wallace. Kenny, how you doing?
Talk to me, buddy. I'm doing good. Oh, already been taping some driver interviews for, the Fox Sports show, TV. So
I think I've heard
this. Yeah, we did Jamie McMurray already, and we've done Austin Dillon. We're getting ready to go live here, so I'm headed to my camera, people.
Okay, well, Kenny, thank you for stopping and talking, and tell Larry Mack to do something.
Oh, Larry Mack, I say to him all the time, I said, Larry, why you get so excited about Alabama football? He goes, Kenny, it's the only thing we have in Alabama. I said, now, come on, you got Talladega. All right, buddy, thanks for what you do. I enjoy you.
Thanks, Kenny, appreciate it. Kenny Wallace, Fox Sports here. He's absolutely who to talk to.
Yeah, he's really funny. I love watching him. I mean, he's enjoyable on TV.
Yeah, I just walked over to him. I run up on the owner of BK Racing, my good friend, Mr. Ron Devine. Ron, what y'all have for breakfast this morning?
What do we have for breakfast, there you said? A little bit of egg, and I have a little shake thing I drink for this diet I'm on. So I'm ready to go.
Ron, since last year, BK Racing has went through some restructuring, hired a couple of new drivers, and Greg Gallen and Coyle Joy, and you brought your PR in-house and all that stuff. Everything working okay with the race teams now?
Well, I mean, you got to back up sometimes to go forward, right? And so we put two rookies out there. They're both fast. They're doing a great job, I think. You know, we've had those same mistakes, speeding on pit roads, a couple wrecks here and there. Been a little unlucky with the cautions. But in general, these guys are both very fast. We're very happy with the way they're progressing, you know, and they're both new to the sport. And so they're learning the tracks and they're learning the cars. They're giving the teams good feedback. Corey LaJoy has gotten a new team underneath of him for the last 3 or 4 weeks. He hasn't finished anywhere other than between 28th and 31st. And, you know, he's actually run better times than that. Gray has had great car control. And again, he's growing. He's only 19 years old. Now, we're anxious to see how he does today. This is his first real super speedway action, so we're going to take it easy with him, let him get comfortable with it. But yeah, I think we're happy with the way it's progressing.
I would.
Yeah, and you know, Gray, Ron, you let one of your charters go this year, and you only have the one charter, which is under Gray. So Corey has qualified on the time at every race, which he has done that. Can you tell me why you actually let that charter go?
Well, I wanted the ability to run one car and focus so that we could, you know, keep our energies. I mean, we're really a four-car race team. But when you look at all the stuff we have, if we were one car, we could be way ahead of the game. So you could set it up to race instead of scramble. That's why you see me not bring the 93 out. Now, we were always going to run the 83, but we were going to run it part-time. Well, it's gotten off to a good enough start that we're continuing on with it. But we wanted the flexibility to run. And the other thing, it was in the bottom three. And so I think you'll see some turnover happen in the charters each time. I didn't want to take the chance of running 2 years in a row in the bottom three with it. I mean, that was really the foundation for why to let it go. You know, there'll be some available. It'll be okay. I'm not done buying them.
I heard that, Ron. And, Ron, you want to go ahead and thank some of your sponsors?
Well, we do. You know, we have great sponsors. I want to thank Dr. Pepper, who's been our first and our most loyal. Today we got Dustless Blast and riding on Corey's car. And he's been with us for many years now, too. And just a, you know, super product. You know, if you're looking to take any kind of paint off of something, like boats or bridges or things like that, that Dustless Blasting machine is terrific. Gray bringing in Sunfrog, you know, that's a great apparel company. They do embroidering. They can turn embroidery around in no time at all. And we're real happy to have them. And a whole cast of characters as far as, you know, other sponsors. We got a new water deal going with a company. You got to try that. It's flavored water. It's delicious. You can only get it through Amazon. And, you know, it's better for you. Got all the right minerals in it. It's a great product. So I think we're going to continue on in that. We're developing that side of it. Our sponsorship is growing each year. We're up more than double over what we were last year. And we wanted to build that model home and then be able to grow off of that. So I'm sure I'm leaving some of them out. I don't want to forget Toyota. They've been great with us again. You know, we have simulators for the drivers, and we have Salisbury for all the engineering. I couldn't replace the engineering that they give me. it's terrific. And so, we don't want to be remiss in forgetting them. And you see Schluter Flooring on the rear TV panel and every week. You know, that's a huge underlayment company, and we do a couple primaries each year, and then they bought the quarter panel for the whole season. They send people. In fact, I saw the Schluter guys here a few minutes ago. So, you know, we have a small but mighty group of sponsors, and we're growing with them.
That sounds good, Ron. Again, thank you for what you and everybody do for the sport, and good luck, baby. 48th run, Geico 500.
All right, Tim. Thanks for all your help and support, too. You guys have been great. Good luck to you with your show. Okay?
Thanks, Ron. Appreciate it. Ron Devine, BK Racing. Steven.
You know, he brought up something that you know, a lot of people don't talk about in these shows is that, you know, you run in the bottom three each year. NASCAR that issues these charters can take these away from you and sell them off to another team. So he sold them off on his own, and he sold them off. He actually sold them off to another team, and you know, you do it for 2 years, you run in the bottom three, and that's how these charters are actually sold. So it's you know, this it's a little quirk of the charter system. He had two of them. He only sold one. He still has another one, as he said. And you know, there's a lot of things into this charter system. You know, there's only just a handful of these. You know, the whole field isn't locked in with these charters, anyways. And you know, he said, you know, he could potentially buy one in the future because, you know, there are teams coming and going all the time in the sport. There are some teams out there right now that is on lease. You can lease a charter for 1 year. At that point, you have to give it up, or you got to find one to buy. And you know, that's been going on, you know, since last year. And you know, there's been quite a bit of discussion about this. You know, last year, you know, there was a little bit of discussion on, you know, this whole charter deal. And you know, it's you know, I think that's one of the missing caveats that, you know, we don't talk about as much. Is, you know, just some of these you know, some of these teams that are sitting down there at the bottom, you know, especially the bottom three, and how these charters can be taken away. That, you know, you're not always going to be guaranteed this charter, where, you know, NASCAR can take them away and then sell these charters to somebody else.
Yeah. He brought up a real good point about the charter, just like you said. I lead back down toward the entrance of the LIS, and now the 31 of Ryan Newman showed up. 42 of Kyle Larson's popped up through there. I don't know if anybody else got turned around yet or not, Steven.
Yeah, you know, NASCAR's going to make you keep going through these things all the time. And if you go through these things too many times out here, you know, next week when they get to Kansas, there's going to be some loss of practice times. There's going to be some other penalties that could come from this, depending on, you know, where they fail these inspections or whatever the case may be. So, yeah, I mean, there's some things out here that, you know, these teams have to be very inherently, you know, they have to be very inherently aware of, that they're not, going out there and, going too far out of the bounds of, you know, what's allowable.
Yeah, and Steve, just let everybody know, the listeners, the crowd is getting thicker down here now, so I'm having to sort of look and watch where I walk and not look at my phone, so I don't want to run into nobody. Here comes the 43 of Eric Almirola coming back through. I guess he's headed back down to go back through the LIS again too, Steven. But the sun is out, light breeze, it's perfect weather to come out to Talladega Super Speedway. I think there still are some tickets left, but the traffic might be a little bit rough by this time now. But I'm telling you, anybody around here, there's still tickets left to come out for this 48th running of the Geico 500 seat.
Yeah, so anybody out there, anybody that can get out there to Talladega, yeah, I mean, you're going to be in for a good race out there today. You know, 500 miles of racing around that big monster you got out there. They're going to kick this thing off what is it, 2 o'clock this afternoon? Well, my time, 1 o'clock your time, and it's going to be quite a bit of action going on out there on that racetrack later on today when this all kicks off.
Yeah, you're exactly right, sir. What they used to call it back in the day, they used to call it white knuckle racing back then. But, there's all kind of activity down here now, cars in and out. I think I'm going to have to get out of the way. That's like once this has come back through, get here and see who it is. It's number one, Legitimate Murray. It's like he's able to go back there and go through it again also. But I'm getting over here on the other side, see if I can find somebody else to interview. But they got the haulers packed in here. All the teams are working, making sure all the T's are crossed, I's dotted. But it's a beautiful day to be at Talladega. It's beautiful.
Well, that's the best type of racing that you can have is when you have a nice day out there at Talladega. But, you know, it's the calm before the storm out there, really, because when they get this thing going, it's going to be awful crazy out there, that's for sure.
And Stephen, believe it or not, I'm back over toward the Miller Light Hauler of Red Kids last year. He's standing right outside doing the same thing Joey Logano was doing earlier. He's talking to people, signing autographs, taking to whoever walks up. You can just walk up, get in line, get a picture with Red Kids last year. I think that's awesome, the interaction with the fan that Joey and Brad are doing this morning.
No, that's absolutely good. I'm glad he's doing that too, and I'm glad that they're doing it, and as I said before, I think more drivers need to do it. I think they all need to go out there and do it, or at least as many as possible. You know, there's plenty of time before the race starts every day or every single weekend. At least on race day, go out there, even if it's for 20 or 30 minutes. I mean, they don't have to go out there and do it for an hour. They don't have to go out there and do it for 45 minutes. But you have 20 or 30 minutes, take 20 or 30 minutes out of your day and go stand out there on pit road or go stand out there, behind your hauler and just go and sign some autographs and take some pictures. That's all it takes. It really doesn't take a whole lot to please, race fans, that's all they ask. They just really just ask that, you go out there and you make a little bit of an effort and, that you just go out there and just show that you're appreciative that you're a fan of theirs. So
exactly, Steven. And I'm looking at Brad now. He's not in no big hurry. He's just down there talking to everybody. And like you said, all the drivers should at least try to do it. But, a lot of drivers, they won't go up to them big hospitality tents where these people pay this big money to come in there and do all that. But I think you hit on something good. I think all of them need to take at least 15, 20 minutes race morning while they're chilling out to talk to their fans. Because the fans, that's all they want to do is talk, get a picture and autograph.
Yeah, really. It's real. Like I said, you're right. That's all it is, Sometimes that's all they want is, a picture and an autograph and, off they go. I mean, it's, not a whole lot of, it's really not a whole lot that they ask for sometimes. A lot of people, they go through, they're good with that and they move on. That's really all that it is sometimes.
Yep. Steve, I think a lot of these drivers, it just seems like, I think whenever Brad gets done, I don't know what time the driver's meeting is or if they've already been, but they probably getting sort of thinning out down here a little bit now, so they're probably getting ready to go to driver's meeting and start getting serious.
Yeah, it's getting close to that time. They're we're about 2.5 hours here from race time, give or take a little bit here, and it's about time. It's about to become serious out here before long. Driver's meeting and everything else is about to come up here. But yeah, it's about to become interesting before too long.
Yeah, I think you're right, Stephen. You got the schedule for today, start times and all.
Yeah, I've got that pulled up. We're gonna go out here. We're gonna go racing out here. Just a little. We're gonna go racing out here at 2 o'clock Eastern time, 1 o'clock your time out there. 188 laps out there today for 500 miles of racing around that 200 miles. They're gonna go 200 miles an hour, but it's a 2.66 mile monster right there at Talladega Super Speedway out there. A lot of racing out there, and you know, while we're talking about this, yeah, let me get the stages for you guys so everybody knows where you know we're gonna put these stages at too, because we got some stage racing going on today out there over these over these 188 laps. And stage racing today out there at Talladega is going to be, they're going to end at lap 55, 110, and then finally at 188. But yeah, we've got a lot of racing going on out there today. So watch for some of these wrecks to be around that lap 55 and lap 110 mark. I would suspect if we go back and we look at yesterday, I think those are probably going to be around what we're going to see.
It's going to definitely happen, Steve. And to let everybody know, myself, I'm on the grounds. Caleb Whistler, at Caleb Whistler for Speedway Digest, is on the grounds. He is in the media center. I'll be up and down pit road trying to catch information, send it back to the home office there in Richmond, Virginia. Steve will be right there covering everything, scanners, listening to scanners and everything. So if anything happens, you'll hear from Speedway Digest first.
All righty. Well, you know, we're getting closer, and we're going to kick this thing off here. A lot of coverage already today. We're going to go racing here in 2.5 hours here. 2 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, 1 o'clock out there at Talladega Super Speedway. You're going to be there. Caleb's going to be out there also. You're going to be roaming the garage, roaming the media center. Caleb's going to be doing the same thing. I'll be here covering all this thing on Twitter here for us. I've also got Brett. He's gonna be doing his thing too. So you know we've got a whole line of coverage coming up here today for the Geico 500 here from Talladega Super Speedway. And you know we only got about 2 or 3 minutes here left. So I guess we'll do the same thing. You know, Tim, I'll tell you what, we'll do the same thing. Tim, tell everybody where they can follow you at on Twitter, Facebook, all that kinds of good stuff.
You can follow me on Twitter at TD Lyman or at the Pit Stop Radio, or you can follow me on Facebook. It's Tim Bespain, the Pit Stop Radio with Tim and Suzanne, and also our page, the Pit Stop Radio LLC, and we've got a Speedway Digest Radio Network page. So we've got Facebook pretty much covered, and y'all pretty much have Twitter covered. So, again, today, check Speedway Digest out for all the great coverage. I'm here at this monster, huge facility, 2.66 mile, my home track, Talladega Super Speedway. And Stephen, thanks again for manning the studio. I really appreciate it, bud.
Not a problem. And that's going to pretty much do it for us here today. I'm Steve Wilson. You can follow me at Speedway Digest on Twitter, facebook.com/Speedway Digest, speedwaydigest.com. We're going to have all the coverage here for the Geico 500 coming up again at 2 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, 1 o'clock Central Time out there. As Tim said, he's going to be roaming the garage. Kev Wessler's going to be there in the media center carrying all the coverage there. Brett Winningham is also going to be following up on coverage with me. We've got all the coverage coming up today for the Geico 500 out there at Talladega Super Speedway for the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup series out there. Racing today out there, we're going to have some restrictor plate racing out there, 200 miles an hour around that bad boy out there in Tim's backyard. From all of us here at the Pit Stop Radio, Tim, Suzanne, Anne-Marie, myself, everybody that puts this thing on every single week, we appreciate you guys listening in today, and we're going to let you guys go get ready. Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series Geico 500 racing coming up here just a little later on today. Thanks a lot, everyone. We appreciate it, and we will be back on Tuesday night at our regular time, 7 o'clock, Pit Stop Radio, Tim Spain, and myself, Steve Wilson. Thanks a lot, everyone.